morning, from the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, in Yaakov Vor on page Kuflamit Hey, Amar Rav Huna, Eser Masot Nasal Torah Shabbat Oyom. That Rasha Sancheirev traveled the distance of 10 days in that one day, the day before he came to Yerushalayim. Shenemar, as it says in Yeshaya, Perak Yod, Sukim Chav Chet Lamed Bet, Ba'alayat, Avar B'migron, Mechmash, Yefkid Kelav, Avru, Ma'avara, Geva Malon Lanu, Harda, Harama, Givat Shol Nasa, Tzali Kolech Bat Galim, Akshivi, Laisha, Aniya, Anatot, Nadada, Madmena, Yoshvei, Hagivim, Heizu, Od Hayom, V'Nov Lamod. Official Art Scroll Translation. Sancheirev has come to Ayat and passed through Migron. He deposits his belongings at Michmas. They passed by the river crossing. They lodged at Geva. Ramah trembled. Gibet Shaul fled. Givat Shaul fled. Try to read the English here. What is that word? Gibet. Givat Shaul fled. Let out your voice, Bat Galim. Hear, O Laish. Anatot is wretched. Madmina has moved away. The inhabitants of Givim have mustered themselves. Yet today he will stand in Nov. He will wave his hand. This continuation of Pasuk Derek Gemara doesn't quote. Od b'yom hanov bin od hayom b'nov lamod yinofef yado Har Zion. He will wave his hand contemptuously at the mountain of the daughter of Zion, Har Bat Zion. I should have said Givat Yerushalayim, at the hill of Yerushalayim. That last pasuk is the beginning of the Haftorah for the eighth day of Pesach.
Don't translate Bat Galim.
They did not. Well, right. The shot of the pasuk is that it's the name of a place, as we saw in the Gemara, and we'll read again momentarily. Gemara understands it's not the name of the place, under a place, but the shot is that it is the name of a place. The first question is: Gemara says he traveled the distance of ten days in one day. And right in the middle of this list of places, it says, Geva Malon Lanu. They spent the night in Geva. So, thought they were traveling in one day. It's just spending the night. Yad Ramah, Rishon, asked this question. And he gives two answers. One is, we say, Vayhi Erev Vayhi Boker Yom Echad. The night and the day is one day. The night preceding and the day following. So perhaps it means they traveled, when we say they traveled this distance in one day, it means a 24-hour period, not a 12-day period, as we might have assumed, but a 24-hour period. And they stopped to rest in Geva. That is his first shot. And his second shot is that the Malon Lanu is not referring to Sancheirev at all, but rather it's saying that the Jewish people are saying they've passed Geva, which was a place where we used to stay. Maybe Geva was a resort where people would go to rest. I don't know, something. It was for some reason worthy of pointing out that this is a place where we used to stay and Sancheirev has passed it. Those are the two explanations of Yad Ramah for those words, Geva Malon Lanu. Where it continues, Hane Tuva Havyan, if you count it up, there are more than 10 places listed in this pasuk. So where it answers, Sali Kolech Bat Galim is not one of the places, rather Navi Hu Deka Amar Lu L'Knesset Yisrael. The Navi is saying to Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish people, raise your voice, Bat Galim, Tzali Kolech Bat Galim, Vitoshel Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Shasu Mitzot Lefanai Kigalei Hayam. Raise your voice, the daughter of Galim, the daughter of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, who did mitzvos before me like the waves of the sea. Hakshivi Laisha. What does Hakshivi Laisha mean? That's also not the name of a place. Mehai lotistifi. It means don't be afraid of this laish, which we'll explain in a second. Ela istifei minimuchanetzar harasha dimitil ka'aryeh. Be afraid of the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, who is compared to a lion, Shneemar, Allah Aryeh Misubcho, as it says in Yirmiyah, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, the lion has left his den, a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, who would come. Nebuchadnezzar was about 100 years after Sancheirav, and Nebuchadnezzar is one who would destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. My aniya anatot. What is the meaning of the phrase anatot is wretched? Gemara says, and now we're on Daf Tzadihei Amud Aleph. Atid Yirmiya ben Chilkiya me anatot demitna be Allah. That Yirmiya ben Chilkiya from anatot is destined to prophesy about Yerushalayim, Dichtiv, Divrei, Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, Min HaKohanim, Asher Ba'anatot. The words of Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, one of the Kohanim, from Anatot. So Gemara now returns to a couple lines ago. It said, listen, Laisha, don't be afraid of this one, Sancheirav, but rather be afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, who's called a lion. Mi dami, Gemara says, are they comparable? Hatam Aryeh hachalaisha. You're comparing two psukim. One says Aryeh, which is the word we usually use for lion, and one says Laisha, which says is something else, seemingly. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shisha shemot yesh lari. Rabbi Yochanan says, lion has six names. Elohim, they are Aryeh in Gracious Memtet Tet, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Now, Gur also is a word associated with lion. The word Gur just means cub. So, Gur Aryeh means a lion's cub, but the lion itself is the Aryeh. Kfir, the lions also call it Kfir in Shoftim Yodalet Hey. It's called a Lavi, also in the same pasuk. Gur Aryeh Yehuda, Miterf Pani Alita Kara, Ravatsk Aryeh, Uchlavi Meichemenu. A lion cub is Judah. From the prey, my son, you elevated yourself. He crouches, lies down like a lion, and like an awesome lion, who dares rouse him? A laish, a shachal, a shacha, and a shachatz. In each of these, in different psukim. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, that Tzalik Holeich Bat Galim is not the name of a place, and Akshivi Laisha is not the name of a place, and Aniya and Atot is not the name of a place, Batsri Lahu, now the pasuk doesn't list 10 places anymore. So our answer is Avru Ma'bara Tartininhu. Avru Ma'bara counts as two places. Avru is one, and Ma'bara is the second, and then there are 10 altogether.
Avru itself
is the name, Avru is the name of a place.
As opposed to a verb.
Correct. Gemara says that there are six different words for lion in places in Tanakh. The Malbim, in his introduction to Yeshaya, quoted this in the Shir once before, just explains three pillars on which his commentary to Navi rests. And the reason this is in the introduction to Yeshaya is because that's the volume he published first. He says that no two words in the Nevi'im mean the same thing. No two sentences mean the same thing. No two parables mean the same thing. That's one. So we have six words here for lion. They don't all mean lion. He doesn't talk about this over here. I'm applying his principle. They don't all mean the same thing. They all mean lion, but each one must have some separate meaning, which we'll talk about. His second principle is that when there are differences, subtle differences between two words or two expressions, it's for a reason. There's nothing Navi that's worded the way it's worded by chance. And the third is that there's no outside without an inside. There's no peel without a fruit inside. There's no body without a neshama inside. There's no clothes without somebody inside. In other words, everything in Navi, no matter how simplistic it seems, has some message inside. Those are the three principles of the Malbim. But the first one is that There are no two words or two expressions that mean the same thing. They have to have different meanings. If you look in the Ein Yaakov Mavor on page Kuf Lamed Ches, in the commentary on the bottom, commentary called Yosef Chaim, he brings here from Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, just starting on the top line, I'm going to read it. V'elu hema shisha shimot. These are the six names. Nikra Aryeh. The lion is called an Aryeh. K'moshen Amar Gur Aryeh Yehuda. V'Aryeh milshon Yir'ah. The word Aryeh has the same letters as the word Yir'ah. Fear. Shukulam mityar'im vimeno. Because people fear lions. Nikrak, that's number one. Nikrak fear. It's called a kafir. K'moshen Amar Etzal Shimshon. V'nei kafir Aryeh likratal. As it says, regarding Shimshon, that's the pasuk that's brought, Shoftim Yodalad Hey, that a kfir came towards him. Shekom Yisrael to kofir b'chayav. The word kfir comes from kofir, to deny. A person who sees a lion charging at him, he denies his life. In other words, he gives up. My time, that's it. My time is up. Kibatuach hu sholech achshav l'mut b'menu. He's sure he's going to die now. Nikra lavi. It's called a lavi. K'moshen emar, kara ravatz k'arye uchlavi miyikimenu. As it says regarding Yehuda, he crouched like a lion and like a lavi who will raise him up. Milashon lev. Comes from the word heart. Shechotef levavot shel bnei adam. Adei apachat sheyesh lahem mimenu. A lion steals people's hearts. That is, they're gripped with fear, as if their hearts stopped. We would say their heart stopped or skipped a beat. Nikra Laish, it's called the Laish. K'moshen emar b'Yishaya masab behimot negev ba'aretz sarav tzukah laviv Laish. V'hu milashon lisha shelash b'sor shaldam shinav. The word Laish is from the word lisha, which is the word to knead dough, because that's what a lion's teeth do to its meat.
It
knead it. Chew it up like it's kneaded. K-N-E-A-D. Nikra shachal. It's called a shachal. Shenemar v'tilim al shachal v'fetin tidroch. V'milashon chil ura'adash shechalim v'panav. The word shachal refers to trembling. And nikra shachatz, it's called a shachatz, shenemar v'iov, lo hadrichehu b'nei shachatz. V'hu milashon chetz, it's the language of an arrow, shuchatz b'shinav. Because his teeth are like arrows, they have the same effect. Or he could mean chatz, like the word chetzi, a half. Because that's what a lion's teeth do, they cut whatever it is in half. So that's the meaning behind each of the names. In different places, you have to look in the context of the psuk in there and try to figure out why the particular word would be used in that particular place. I have not looked up all of these psukim and the malbim on all of these psukim, but that's the kind of thing, you know, if you want to learn Tanakh or even Chumash, and then you have a question, it's good to know what kinds of things different commentaries address. So this is the kind of thing the Malbim, as he suggests in the introduction to his commentary, if you want to know why are there two words that are similar, a good place to look is a Malbim. It's likely to address that kind of thing. So it would not surprise me if Malbim would talk about why these different words are used in different places. Why does Gemara need to tell us that there are six names for a lion, not giving us a zoology lesson? So one reason is to help us understand the psukim. Psukim use these words, and we need to know. Another reason is, he brings here in the Yosef Chaim from the Marsha, that for business purposes, if a person says, I want to buy a Laish, you got to know what you're buying him. is a joke. It's a yeshivish joke. Rogachover's nafkamina. The Rogachover was a great rabbi in Latvia about 100 years ago. And he reportedly said, people tell a lot of stories about the Rogachover. They may or may not be true. He reportedly said, any question that anybody asks, what difference does it make? You could answer by saying, if I would say to a woman, Harei mikudeshetli al minat, that such and such. If you are married to me on the condition that such and such. So you are married to me on the condition that a liish is a lion. Then we need to know, is she married or not? So the Gemara is telling us that a liish is a lion. It's a yeshivish joke. Some people might go way over people's heads. But in any event, if I say, I'll sell you a liish, I need to know, is a liish a lion or is it a coffee cup? This book or English sefer called The Animal Kingdom in Jewish Thought by Shlomo Pesach Taparov, who was a rabbi in England in the 20th century, back in the day. He published this book when he was 88 years old and retired and living in Israel. I assume by now he's passed away because he would be 111 years old and we probably would have heard of him if that were the case. He says that Ariyeh or Ari, which according to Jastrow was derived from the root ara, to be light, is therefore translated as a light-colored lion. Ari may also refer to a distinguished scholar. Shachal is a fierce lion of middle age. This word is traced to an Assyrian root meaning to cry. It may therefore refer to the roar or cry of the lion when he is hungry. Shachatz is a lion more advanced in age than the previous one. In the words of the rabbis, the lion is called shachatz because it tears with its mouth. That's similar to what we said, but he brings it from Avot de Rabbi Natan, chapter 43. Lavi, which Jastrow derives from the word lavan, to be bright or white, and renders as the flame-colored lion. Laish, this is derived from the root to be strong, lion-like. The laish, too, is an old lion. Fear is a young lion, gur, whelp. The etymology is not known, but perhaps is onomatopoeic. Kefir differs from gur inasmuch as it is old enough to hunt its prey. They bring some dictionary for that. I'm not familiar with the source that he's bringing. The lion appears in the Shulchan Aruch, the very first sentence of the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, this
is not a commentary on the Gemara, yeah. This is a book on the animal kingdom and Jewish thought. It's not particularly connected with this Gemara, but it does try to define why there are different terms. There are different ages, different colors. The first sentence in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Din Hashkamat HaBoker, the laws of waking up in the morning, says, Yitgaber Ka'ari La'amod BaBoker La'avodat Bor'o. A person should awaken in the morning to, like a lion, should be gibor, like a lion, to wake up in the morning to serve his creator. We also find lion, among other animals, in Pirkei Avos. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, in Perk Hay, different Pirkei Avos have the Mishnayos numbered differently, but this is approximately Mishnah Chaf Gimel or Chaf Dalet, depending on your version. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, havi az kan amer, be bold as a leopard, v'kal kanesher, light as an eagle, ratz katzvi, swift as a deer, the gibor ka'ari, and gibor, they translate here strong, but we'll see what gibor means, like a lion, lasat utzon avicha shevashamayim, to do the will of your father in heaven. Incidentally, mentioned just last week or a week before, in passing, that in order to say Kaddish Drabanan, we're talking about the Mishnah in Makos, Rechnani ben Akash Omer, and I mentioned that in order to say Kaddish Drabanan, you need to have Agarata. One place in our Siddur where we have Kaddish Drabanan, seemingly no Agarata beforehand, and that is at the end of Korbanos in the morning. You say, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Vishloshesrei Midot Torah Nidreshet, the 13 ways to expound the Torah, and then we say, you say, Yer Son Fanacha Shamokino, Kavatinishi Benevik, and Dash Rabbi Amenu, Vitin Hakinim Taratacha. May it be your will that the base of Middash should be built, be rebuilt, and we will serve you. And we say, Kadosh Rabbana. Where's the Agadata? Somebody showed me, we had the introduction to Ein Yaakov Shirim when we first started this, and I gave, we had it in three sessions, but I condensed it into one 40-minute session and spoke in my in-law shul, which went to Amara, on the Shabbos before that. And somebody came over to me and showed me that in the Sephardi Siddur, it actually says, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Havi Azken Omer, what we just read about the attributes of different animals that we should imitate. And the next Mishnah, or in some versions, it's a continuation of the same Mishnah, says, Yerasom Fanecha, Shemokin, Vokavatin, Shibenevitim, Dash, Yamenu, Tim Tartecha. So apparently, what we say, the Yiratzon that we say before Kadosh Rabbanan, is a shortened version of what should be there, which is this whole Agadata, Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer. I asked last week Rabbi Lubyansky if he's ever seen any discussion, because Rabbi Lubyansky is a big expert in the history of the Siddur. And I asked him if he'd ever seen any discussion about it, and he said that he had not, but presumably, since the Sihi Ratzon is the end of a Mishnah that has Agadata, so it counts as Agadata itself. He didn't want to commit to maybe our Sidurim were missing a sentence. But in a Sephardi Siddur, it is there. In any event, the Mishnah tells us to adopt the traits of these different animals, including Gibor Ka'ari. There's a Medrash called Perek Shira. Perek Shira is a list of different creations, and in particular different animals, but not only animals, and what they say to praise Hashem. So, for example, Ariyeh Omer, a lion, says, Hashem kegibor yetze, kish mechamot, yair kina, yaria, af yetzriach, aloivav, yitgabar, which is a pasuk in Yeshaya, Membet, Yudgimel. A lion says, according to Perek Shira, Hashem will go forth like a mighty warrior. He will arouse vengeance like a man of war. He will shout triumphantly, even roar. He will overpower his enemies. You've probably been to the zoo. You've probably never heard a lion say that. What does it mean that a lion says that? Or any of the things that it says in Perek Shira, that this animal says this pasuk and this animal says that pasuk? There's a commentary in Perek Shira, which is speculated to be the earliest commentary ever written on Perek Shira by someone named Rav Shmuel ben Kimchi, who lived in the 1300s. And he says, this commentary was apparently written in 1347. He says that kol lashon amira hanemar b'perek shira, anytime it says in Perek Shira that the animal or the creation, the sky says, the earth says, the clouds say, ritzono lomar inyan hora'ah, it means it teaches. In other words, he says kol echad manivraim more eze inyan b'munat hakel. Every creation teaches us something connected to our belief in God, or by publicizing Hashem's wisdom or His wonders, or it teaches a person mussar, or the correct way to act with his nature or in his actions. So Perek Shira is teaching us why did Hashem create so many different creatures? What can we learn from each one? So from the lion, we learn that Hashem is a gibor. Says Hashem is compared to the lion. Hashem ki gibor yetzei. Hashem, the lion says Hashem will go out like a gibor. We saw in Pirkei Avos, it says that yitgaber k'ari. In Shulchan Aruch it says yitgaber k'ari. Pirkei Avos it says a person should be gibor k'ari. Clearly some connection between an ari and a gibor, a lion, and Hashem, and a gibor. What does the word gibor mean? Sometimes translated as strong, is translated as brave. Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu called Hashem Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanara. And Yirmiah and Daniel came along at the time of the Korban and after the Korban, and they said, what do you mean Hashem is Gibor and Nara? Hashem is strong. Hashem is awesome. His Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed. Where is his strength? Where is his awesomeness? Then Anshei Knesset HaGdola came along 70 years later and established Shemoneh Esrei. And we do say Hakel HaGadol HaGibor V'Nara. Hashem is Gibor and he's awesome. And Gemara explains the ability to remain silent when your enemies are destroying the Beis HaMikdash, that is gvura. That's what strength is. Each of the Avos is associated with a different midah. Avram with chesed. Yitzchak Avinu is associated with gvura. Look at Yitzchak. Every single story in the Torah about Yitzchak is that somebody's essentially trampling on him. Avram, so to speak, trampling on him. Avram takes him to the Akedah. Hashem tells Avram, shecht him, bring him to the Karva. Avram's willing to do it. Yitzchak doesn't say a word. Rivka and Yaakov conspire to take away the brachos from Esav. Yitzchak doesn't say a word. The Plishtim close up the wells that Yitzchak dug. Doesn't say a word. Just moves on. Where is the Gvura? Rav Avram Elia Kaplan, one of the great students at the Altar of Slobodka, says the same thing. That's the Gvura. The ability to let people trample on you and not feel the need to react. That is Gvura. So with that background, Rabbi Topperoff quotes the Mishnah, be strong as a lion, which is also in Shulchan Aruch, in different words. Initially, this teaching seems rather strange. We compare the lion, who can be cruel and ferocious, with the will of God, who is kindly, merciful, and gracious. However, the word gibor does not refer to the exceptional physical strength of the lion, but to the ability with which God has endowed him to curb his passions. The lion will devour and plunder when he is hungry and will provide for the needs of the members of his family, but he is not naturally cruel. In contrast to the bear, the lion will not recklessly hunt for prey. The lion has been known to aid weaker animals, even procure food for them. Indeed, the lion has the strength to subdue his passions. This may explain why the righteous and upright of Israel are stronger than lions to do the will of their master and desire of Hashem. It is also reasonable to suggest that Daniel left the den unscathed because the lions, under divine providence, controlled their passions, the passions of lions. This evaluation of the might of the lion is borne out by our sages in the Talmud, when we learn that sometimes a lion will stay among the flocks and not injure them. We're also informed that the lion will attack man only when it is driven by hunger, but never when two men are together. It is in this spirit that the rabbis have called the lion the king of the beasts. He has earned this title because he can govern his passion. He says that Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, which is a medrash, equates Lavan with a lion and Esav with a bear. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer declares that the lion means Lavan, who pursued Yaakov like a lion so as to destroy his life. The bear refers to Esav, who stood by the way like a bear. The lion is shamefaced. The bear is not. Not only did Lavan refrain from molesting Yaakov, but he admitted that he was unable to do so. By shamefaced, I think he means has some humility. However, Esav made no such admission. This fits in with our contention that the lion can control his passion. Little wonder that the Jew has survived. He will accept the restraints of the moral law and uphold family purity. He will curb his appetite and adhere to the Jewish dietary laws. And in many areas of life, he will repress his passions and rightly earned the title the Lion of Judah. Earlier, he talks about the Lion of Judah. Perhaps the most popular metaphor regarding the lion is found in Rashi's 49:9, in which Yehuda is referred to as a Gur Aryeh, a lion's whelp. As the lion triumphs over his enemy, so will Yehuda. In the words of Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, not in the fighting and in the thick of the fray does Judah's greatness lie. Even when he is quietly resting, he remains a lion. That's the end of the quote. The prophecy of the patriarch Yaakov was realized, for from the tribe of Yehuda, kings were raised. The Lion of Judah, the emblem of the tribe, has left a deep imprint on Jewish life. Lions figured largely in the decoration of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Lion of Judah is found today in almost every synagogue. It is embroidered on the curtain of the ark and on the mantle covering the scroll of the law. It's engraved on a silver ornament hanging on the mantle and is carved on the reading desk, what we call the Shulchan. We have lions here. No lions on this parochet, but in many, many shuls and the chosha and the breastplate, you will find lions. I'm sure you've all seen it. The point being that the gvura of the lion is in its ability to restrain. Lions are not just wild. When they're hungry, they know what to do. But when they're not hungry, they're not dangerous. The danger is you don't know if the lion's hungry or not.
They do with these safaris where you have open vehicles, and so they must feed the lions there, so they're not bothering the people.
Could be. There's a commentary on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer called Knaf Renanim by Rav Chanoch Zundel Luria, lived in the 1800s. And he brings a similar idea. Brings the pasuk Yuda Tayaducha Achecha. Yaakov says to Yehuda, your brothers will acknowledge you. Yadcha V'orif Oyvecha. Let me read the whole thing in context. This is Yaakov's bracha to Yehuda in Parashat Vayechi. Perek Mem Tet, Sukim Chet and Tet. Yuda Tayaducha Achecha. Yehuda, you, your brothers shall acknowledge. Yadcha v'orif oyvecha. Your hand will be at your enemy's nape, which means the back of the, what we call the neck. Ishtachavu l'cha b'nei avicha. Your father's sons will bow down to you. Gur aryeh Yehuda. A lion cub is Yehuda. Miteref b'nei alita. From the prey, my son, you elevated yourself. A reference to the fact that Shimon and Levi wanted to kill Yosef. And Yehuda said, let's not kill him. Solomon was a slave, but he ultimately intended to save Yosef's life. Crouches, lies down like a lion, and like an awesome lion, who dares rouse him? Kara ravatz karyeh uchlavi miyekimet. Knaf Renanim says that Yaakov is saying, Yehuda, your brothers will acknowledge you. Why will they acknowledge you? Because you defeat your enemies, your hand is on the neck of your enemies, on the back. In other words, you turn away from your enemies. You don't exercise all the force you could have exercised. You turn away from them. And for that, yishtachavu l'cha b'nei avicha. And the proof is, viteref b'nei alita, that you rose above killing my son Yosef when Shimon and Levi wanted to kill him. You, Yehuda, rose above it. Knaf Renanim continues and suggests that perhaps this is why we find two powerful leaders of Klal Yisrael fighting lions, Shimshon and David. Both of them at the beginning of their careers had to fight lions. Once upon a time, lions lived in Yisrael. I don't know if it's the big lions with the big manes or some kind of mountain lion, that I don't know. But there was some kind of lion living in Yisrael. And both Shimshon and David at the beginning of their careers had to fight lions. And it's meant to teach them this lesson about self-control. A Jewish leader has to exercise self-control the way a lion restrains his great power until there's a time of need. And furthermore, just as the lions don't sit around and say, you know, since I'm so powerful, let's go rob a bank. And all the animals listed in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah tells us to emulate the leopard and the eagle. Obviously, they use these abilities that they have the way God put in their nature to use them. So we could say they use them solely in the service of God. And so too, we who should use these powers, the boldness and the bravery and so on, solely in the service of God, not use them in some random way that would not be God's intention. That's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, is teaching us when he says, be bold as a leopard, light as an eagle, swift as a deer, and strong as a lion, specifically, to carry out the will of your Father in heaven. Have a good day.